Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord for another evening. Today has been a blessed one wherever we have been. Amen. Let us all just say something to him by way of thanksgiving. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for yet another time that, Lord, we have, oh God, to be in your presence, Lord. Father, we thank you for the day so far, Lord, our going outs and coming in, Lord Jesus. You have placed us in our homes, in our working places. Oh Lord Jesus, we have seen, oh God, your hand prevailing for us, Lord. Oh, your sustaining power in our homes, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We give all the glory to you, Lord. Father, even we thank you this evening. Oh, how, Lord, you've granted us many mercies from our homes far and near, oh God, and brought us together this evening, oh Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in your midst, Lord. And so, Lord, we know you are here this evening. And we say, Holy Spirit, welcome, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we believe that in your name we stand, oh God. And Father, we want to surrender all to you this moment, oh God. We want to say, Lord Jesus, from our hearts, Lord, we bow down, oh God. We pray that, Lord Jesus, this evening, oh God, you find, oh, us, oh Lord, oh, appropriate, oh God, to speak to us, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we commit all into your hands. This moment, committing the song leader, Lord, into your hands, O God, and the musicians. We commit all the instruments that we use, our voices. Oh, Lord, we want to praise you. We want to sing and worship you, God. So, Father, just, Lord Jesus, let the Holy Spirit create the atmosphere. Oh, for us, where, Lord, we will rejoice in your name, O God. Once again, we want to say thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, O God, we pray with our thanksgiving. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we commit now the evening into your hands as you have brought us together, Lord. Now, Lord, we want to sing and worship and praise your name and glorify you, Lord. Father, let your Holy Spirit now come and sweep over us, Lord Jesus. Though, Father, we are few, but, Lord, oh, it doesn't matter. What matters is your presence in us, with us, Lord. So, Father, we want to worship you. Amen. Just accept our praise and worship. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with our thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We'll just sing a few choruses of praise. Amen. Amen. Glad there's a great change since I was born. Amen.
Oh, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. 'Cause there's a great change since I was born. Oh, great change in my life. Great chance since I was puppets higher than I. Jehovah, hide me. I am under the rock. Go tell my enemy. I am under the rock. Jehovah, hide me. I am under the rock. Go singing. I am under the rock. The rock that's higher than I. Sunshine in the land of perfect day when the mists have rolled away. Oh, we will understand it better by somebody sing by and by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell a story on how we
this whole world.
This whole world can never hold me, 'cause any moment I'll be gone. For I have made my and I have my wedding garment on. Oh, this whole world, this whole world, this whole world can never hold me, never hold me, 'cause any moment desire, Lord, to honor you. Oh, Lord, with all my heart, I worship. Lord, all I have within me, Lord, I give you praise, and all that I adore, Lord, in you. Oh Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I wanna live for you alone, every breath that I take, Lord, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way, Lord, have your way in me.
Thanks very much, Brad. God bless you, saints, this evening. Thanks, Brad Jim, for the piano as well. Amen. Let's open our Bible, saints, to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's get a thought. It's a Wednesday evening. Let's take a word study. We'll study one word tonight, just to fellowship around something. The other day I was praying, and I was asking the Lord to say, Lord, I really desire something that you'd speak to me. And then, you know, a certain thought, a certain scripture comes in your mind, Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, and you go and read that scripture and say, but there must be more in here. Because the prophet says, You could spend eternity in one scripture. Because why every scripture ties into every other scripture. So I got into the scripture and I started to read it. And you know when you read a scripture that really challenges you? Ha! It encourages you, but it challenges you. And it really challenged me. You know, and I said, hey, Lord, if you could help me. Now, it was a busy day at work, so I didn't get my notes done properly in order. So if I go a little bit upside down, forgive me. But I'm sure the Lord will help us just to get a general thought around Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to come upon this night to your house. Father, you know the battles of the day. You know the things that each of us have been through. You know how much the enemy would always try this and try that. But Lord, you've granted us mercy to gather, Lord, to come and sit at your feet, to be in the posture of duty, to be in the right place upon this night. And every one of us would look to you. For our souls need you. Father, our souls need fellowship with you. And Father, we are needy people with the needs that we have, Lord. And we want to lift and dedicate them all to thee. Lord, Sister Shida, praying, Lord, that you'll touch her. Father, she needs a touch from you. Lord, may you fight her battles. Lord, may you draw near to her. Brother Greg and his family, bless their journey, we'd pray. You be with them. Sister Virika, Lord, we think of her. You help and guide and lead her, Lord, even in the place that she is. Father, you establish and settle her and help her, Lord, in all that she should do. And Father, all of you people, Brother Clayton, we think of him upon this night, Lord. May your grace and may your mercy be upon him as well. And Father, every other request that is before us, Sister Daniela, Lord, Father, just needing you, Father, you are the healer of all of these things. Lord, the doctors have said everything they can. But Lord, we're looking unto you. Father, bless us now, maybe few in number. But Jesus, with you in our midst, Father, you are the majority. So we ask you to bless every soul that is here this night. Thank you, Lord, for our song worship. Now, Father, help us to shut ourselves in with you. And you guide us in our thought, guide us in our meditation, that, Lord, as we come to the end, Lord, we may be closer unto you. Help us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, saints. Let's be seated. Let's take our thought just from verse 16 there, which is just a thought that came to me when I was praying. And I said, let me go and find out about this, about redeeming the time. You know, sometimes you'll think you understand something. You say, okay, what is it to redeem the time? To redeem, we know what redeem is. And then I went to look a little bit more deep, a little bit deeper. And like I said, really spoke unto my soul. And I saw that, my, this life, we have to be so careful in this life because there's an ever-present danger in this age. It's a complex age, as we know, that we can quite easily allow the natural things of life to crowd out the spiritual. And we don't redeem time. Amen. You know, there's, it's so very easy to do that. And that's why Paul says in verse 15, the verse before, he says, see then that you walk. So when he's talking about your walk, he's talking about your conduct in life, how you conduct yourself on a daily basis. That's your walk. See that you walk circumspectly. Now, to be circumspect means that you're very careful. You consider, you know, the consequences of what you're doing. You consider the decisions that you're making. If you circumspect, you don't just blunder into something. You don't just do the first thing that comes to your mind or you know, make the decision that seems the easiest to make. But to be circumspect means you really consider something deeply and you consider the consequences. You consider what is the best course of action here. Because like they say, friends, good is the enemy of best. And it's true. You know, in this life, we can miss the best because we aim too low. No, we just make the wrong decisions. And yes, sometimes good things come from the things that we do, but maybe things could have been far better than that if we'd have done like Paul said, to walk circumspectly. So he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. So a wise person will weigh up what time is, will really consider what time is. And will say, I need to use this time properly. I need to redeem this time. You know, when I was really reading this, I was thinking about it, say, how much of our time is unredeemed? Now we'll see what redeemed time really is and the results of redeemed time. But it's quite an easy thing for people to live an entire day with no redeemed time in that day. Amen. Yet Paul is saying, don't do that. You know, time is something, friends, they say money. You can get more money. know, so many other things you get more of, but time, you'll never get more time. When time has passed you by, you can never get that time back. Every second that goes by, you can never, ever get that time back. And they say with time, either you use it or you lose it. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, be careful on how you use your time. And we'll see why Paul said this. You know, Paul, he really must have had a reason for saying these kind of things. I like the saying that I found. I looked in the Bible dictionary for the word redeemed, and I was looking at redeemed, and they put a little quote somebody had said many centuries ago and said, our lives are easily governed by life's demands instead of by God's priorities. And I said, that's true. Amen. That's being circumspect. Is your day, has your day today been governed by life's demands? Is that what's made you make your decisions and do the things that you've done? Or did you order your day at least at the beginning of the day to say, Lord, what are your priorities for the day? Lord, what would you desire for me to do today? Because this is how you're going to find the difference between a day that's redeemed and a day that's not redeemed. Some people get up in the morning, they don't pray. They don't get in the word. They just, you know, wake up, the alarm goes off, they get in the shower quickly, they're late, they rush for the bus, or they're trying to get everybody in the car, and they start the day in a rush like that. My friend, that is not walking circumspectly. That is not going to be a day that you're going to redeem much time, because your life has been governed by the demands of life. You know, you're being driven now by the needs of life, by circumstances, by the things that are coming your way. Instead of looking at life circumspectly, weighing things up and saying, okay, I've got all of these demands of life today, but what's the best day? How would the Lord want me to order this day? And friend, if you get the Lord in your day, what a difference that it makes. Because you'll still get your things done, the natural things, you'll still get them done. But if your priorities are set right, if they're God's priorities, it won't be a confusion of a day that when you get to the end of the day, you look back and say, but of what value, of what purpose was that day? Was there anything eternal in my day? Was there anything done today that is going to meet me in eternity? Because that's what redeemed time is. You know, you look at your day, look at your week. Is there anything inside of your life that you can say, I've stored up something in eternity this week? Or has it just been natural things? Has it just been your life? No, you've stored up more money in the bank. You've made more favor with your boss at work. You know, you've done this, you've done that, you've ironed the clothes, all good things. But it's so easy for the demands of life, for your life to be governed by the demands of life instead of by the priorities that God has for your life. And that's going to make a real, real big difference, because our natural priorities can so easily drown out the spiritual priorities. If we don't walk circumspectly, we've got to walk carefully. You've got to weigh your things up. And say, okay, look, what do I need to do tomorrow? You know, how am I going to weigh my day up? Because I want the kingdom of God in my day tomorrow as well. I don't want it just to be my earthly kingdom governing my life. I want something of the kingdom. I want to do something for the kingdom in my day tomorrow. And friends, that's not going to happen just by chance. You're going to have to walk circumspectly. You're going to have to be looking for opportunity to redeem the time. You know, when that opportunity comes your way. Now, there was another little saying there which I really liked, and it said, we need to remember that life is too short for us to do everything we want to do. Yeah? But it is long enough for us to do everything that God wants us to do. Amen. You see, life is too short. You'll never do everything you want to do in this life. But God has given you just the perfect allotment of days to do exactly what He wanted you to do in this life. Amen. So what should be our priorities? Because we can chase the euro, we can chase the promotion, we can chase the overtime and all these kind of things, and chase to please people, chase, you know, to spend our time on all of those kind of things, and you'll still never do all the things that you wanted to do. But if you had gone wait on the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? God will never put upon you too much for you to do in a day. He knows exactly what you can handle. He knows exactly what He wants you to do for the day. You know, and that is a really, really important point to think about. You know, because people say, but life is too short. No, life is not too short. Life is exactly the right length to do what God wants you to do. Because God has ordained you to do something, and that's something you're storing up something into eternity. And He's going to give you exactly the sufficient time that you need if you can walk circumspectly. If you can redeem that time and use that time wisely, you can achieve exactly what it is that he wants you to do. So this word redeem, it's an interesting word. It literally means to buy something from the marketplace. Now, obviously, when the slaves were redeemed, that's why we speak of being redeemed, because you are purchased with a price. But it speaks of a person who goes to the marketplace. So this is a merchant, maybe a shopkeeper or a tradesman, or you wanted to make some money, so you go to the marketplace. But it's with a certain attitude. It's a man who goes to the marketplace. He's looking for the best bargains. Now, he knows the bargains don't last long. He knows if he misses the opportunity, if he takes too long, if he hesitates, if he's not perceptive, if he's not watchful, by the time he gets to the place that the bargains are, the best bargains in the marketplace, they're already going to be gone. So he's a man who knows, when I get there to the marketplace, I've got to be circumspect. I've got to know what I'm doing, because the opportunities are easily going to pass me by. If I'm just going to allow things to happen, take care of itself, and just walk aimlessly in the marketplace, I'm never going to get what I came for. And that is what life is like. Friends, the opportunity is to redeem time. The opportunity is to store up things in eternity. They're not just going to bump you in the head on the way to work if you're not looking for them. Amen. You might be sitting on the bus next to somebody. If you're not looking for an opportunity to redeem the time, even if an opportunity comes and sits next to you for you to do something for the kingdom of God, you won't realize it. And that opportunity will pass you by. And that is what Paul is saying when he's speaking about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means using the opportunities that have been given to you. And it's easy to allow opportunities to pass us by. And that's why the merchant, he's got to be diligent, because he knows the opportunities are fleeting. Amen. He knows there's only a certain window of opportunity. There's a certain time frame. I've got to strike while the iron is hot. I've got to get there when they're putting the goods out. I've got to see what's being sold, the fishermen bringing in their catch. I'll be there to get the best of the catch. But if he's going to delay, if the natural affairs of his life are going to sidetrack him along the way, by the time he gets there, the opportunity has passed him by. There was an opportunity for him to do something, to redeem him, to redeem something in the marketplace. But that opportunity can quite easily pass you by. And that's how when it says redeeming the time, that's present tense. It doesn't say redeemed or shall redeem. It says redeeming. It's a present tense verb. It's a verb, a doing word. So it says your life has got to be lived in an attitude to say, I want to redeem the time. I'm looking for opportunity, because surely if God has ordered my day, during this day, there's going to be some opportunity to redeem the time. There's going to be certain opportunities that he's going to present. And if I'm walking wisely, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm going to sense, hey, that wasn't just a chance encounter. The Lord wants me to speak to this person. And then you do something, and he's storing up something that's going to meet you in eternity, and you've redeemed the time. When you're driving the bus, like Brother James has done many times, and testifying to somebody, and you find just a casual conversation, when you're not looking to redeem the time, when you're not in the Spirit, when you're just thinking of your worldly business, your earthly business, when someone wants to speak to you, you can even be irritated with them. Why is this person bothering me? I don't want to speak to anybody. But when you're now realizing what Paul says, redeem the time. That opportunity, maybe that person's never going to come again. And if you're not walking wisely at that time, circumspectly, that opportunity is going to pass you by. There was an opportunity to sow something into the kingdom of God. There was an opportunity to do something eternal there. But you didn't realize your opportunity. And Paul's saying, make sure you redeem the time. Use the opportunities that come your way in time. But it's an easy thing to miss that, because these opportunities are fleeting. And there's only so many opportunities that you get. When I thought of this, I thought of many opportunities gone by. That after the event, when you look back, you said, I should have done that. Or I should have said that. Or I should have chased up that opportunity there. I'm sure you're the same. Yeah, but you don't want to be living in regret. So tomorrow's a new day. His mercies are new every morning. So even if today we didn't redeem the time, we have tomorrow if you'll give us tomorrow. that we can walk circumspectly and redeem the time. It's an important thing, and that Paul is trying to put the believers in a mindset to say, look, don't just live for time. Live for eternity. No, don't just live here as if all you got all the time in the world. You don't. No, the clock is ticking inside of your life. Every second is 1 second closer to the final second. Amen. You know, I watched a song the other day. I found one. A man was singing a song, a nice song called Redeeming the Time. And then in the song, when he was singing about it, there came a gravestone, you know, in the cemetery. And it says, your name here. Yeah, so you put your name, then it says born and was blank and died and it was blank. Yeah, and if you and I would just take time once in a while to really consider that there's going to come an end of time. You know, and once time has passed, you can never bring it back. The only thing you can do with time, the only correct thing to do with time is to use that time and to use it wisely. Amen. To redeem that time. But Satan knows that, and it's such a complex age. He's going to, like my boss at work says, we don't want to be busy fools. You know, I've said it before. Now that people are busy running with paperwork, clipboards, this. Then you get to the end of the month and say, guys, how much money did we make? We didn't make much money. Now, a lot of activity, but what are you achieving? Think of it, friend, inside of your life. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? What are you doing with eternity in view? Because all of us, every one of us here tonight, one day have to stand, Paul says, before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment of rewards, not the white throne judgment. But we have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ where the rewards will be given out. And our works will be tried. And how we spent our time, how we spent the money that he gave us, how we used the talents and the resources that he gave us. Friend, and each day which is unredeemed, we're going to have to answer it for on that day. The Lord's going to say, but I gave you opportunity. There was a man on the bus. He was looking for salvation. I brought him onto your bus. But you were so busy thinking of your things. You were not walking wisely. You were walking as a fool. That you never ever recognized the opportunity that I gave you. Friend, it's an easy thing to do in this life, isn't it? You know, with the pressures of this life, the pressures of riches that the prophet says, the complexities, all of the spiritual warfare, the demonology going around and about. But friends, it's a wonderful thing when you do it. You know, when there's that opportunity comes and the Lord allows you to discern, but no, this is not just a chance conversation. No, for my heart to meet up with this person's heart, for my mind to intersect with this person's mind at this time, for them to respond the way that they did. Something inside of you tells you, stop. Forget about your natural affairs. Forget about your business. Eternity is now at work. Here's an opportunity for you to redeem the time. Friend, when you get on your knees and you pray for other people, you get in the spirit, you're redeeming the time. Because you're storing those prayers up in heavenly places, in the great bowls before the throne of God. Now, for you to do something to instruct somebody in the ways of the kingdom and so forth, that's redeeming time. That's time now that has been spent the way that the Lord wants time to be spent. So this, when it says redeeming the time, there's two words for time in the Bible. One is chronos, which means time on your watch. 1 second after another, 1 minute after another, just time. That's just time. Your timepiece. Yeah, that's just ordinary time, moments of time just passing by on the clock. But when Paul says redeeming the time, he uses a different word. This word is kairos, and it speaks of a season of opportunity. So in the midst of our chronos, our life, maybe the prophet was given 56 years of life. Jesus was given 33 and a half years of life. That was how much life was marked on the clock, on the calendar. John the Baptist was given 30 years. That's all that he was given to achieve a purpose. But in the midst of that time frame, the span of time of your life, there's certain seasons of opportunity. There's certain seasons of kairos that Paul is speaking about. These redeeming the time, redeeming, making use of the opportunities. You're not always going to have an opportunity to do something for the Lord. Yeah, you've got to go to work. You've got to do your work. You've got to go home and cook for the children. You've got to do the other things of life. But in the midst of all the rest of your life, if you're sensitive and watchful, there's going to be opportunities of kairos now. an opportunity, a divine opportunity is going to pass your way. And it just depends on what we do with that opportunity now. If you can now recognize, circumspectly seize that opportunity and say, here's an opportunity in the midst of all the busyness of life to do something for the kingdom of God. And now you put your focus and you put your heart in that, and now you're redeeming the time. And then maybe the opportunity passes and you go back to doing your normal business for the rest of the day. But you know what a blessing it is for the rest of the day when you've done something now and redeemed the time for the kingdom of God. It transforms your day. Because you've now allowed God to come down, eternity to come down into your chronos of time. You've allowed his kingdom to come down, and he's drawn near, and you've yielded to his kingdom, and you've allowed eternity now to move into time. And friend, that's an important thing, because we are creatures not just of time, we are creatures of eternity. So when he's saying redeem the time, he's saying make full use of every opportunity. That's what that word time means. It's a divine opportunity. When God gives you an opportunity. Ah, friends, let's not miss our day of visitation, like Jesus says. You know, there's certain seasons, there's certain windows of opportunity that come your way. They're fertile seasons. Seasons where things can be done because it's God's appointed time. There's certain times when something opens up when you're speaking to somebody. And, you know, it's easy to speak to them. The anointing is there and you're speaking to them of the kingdom. And God is opening up their heart. You're redeeming the time. And friends, those things don't come every day in that kind of a way. Sometimes, you know, you'll get small opportunity to do other things. But you might be saying, but how can I redeem the time? All you need is a soft heart, even just a mobile phone. With a mobile phone, you can redeem the time. Because the Lord can lay somebody upon your heart in the midst of your ironing, in the midst of your washing, in the midst of your cleaning of the house. The Lord lays somebody upon your heart. You get on your knees and you pray for that person. Say, I want to speak. You phone that sister up, Sister Shida, understand that you're not well. And the Lord's laid it upon your heart. And you found an opportunity, a divine opportunity has opened up. The Lord has given you an opportunity to do something for his kingdom. And you're now seizing that opportunity when it comes. If now you delay and say, look, when the burden is upon you, I'm not going to do it now, I'll do it later. You find the opportunity passes you by. And you find now that window of opportunity is gone. And when you try to seek it later, it's like Esau seeking for the birthright. It's not there anymore. You find you might seek it even with tears, but you find no, time is like that. You've got to use the time where you lose it. You've got to use the opportunity. If you don't redeem it, it's gone. You know, and God says, no, I gave you the chance. I gave you the opportunity to store up treasures in heaven, to do something eternal, something that's going to meet you beyond the curtain of time. But you never discern the importance of the opportunity because you weren't walking circumspectly. You're walking just like the rest of the world walks, and your life has been governed by life's demands, and you weren't thinking of spiritual priorities. You weren't thinking in any way to say, but Lord, today I'm looking for an opportunity. I remember Brother Chiwanzwa, Brother Woman knows him when he was one minister from Zimbabwe. He was a friend of mine and he told me, he says, brother, I got up one day, he worked for customs. And he says, and I prayed in the morning and I said, Lord, lead me to one of your bleating sheep. You know, I think he had read about you. And what's that girl, the one that was, you know, when Brother says, Milltown, yeah. And he says, Lord, lead me to one of bleeding sheep. And then he was in the midst of his business and he came across this young lady, came in his office and he testified and brought her to the Lord. Because he was walking circumspectly. He was looking for opportunity. He was like the merchant man in the market when he gets there. He's not there just to look at the fashions of other people and the busyness of life. He's there with a purpose. He's looking for the bargain. When the opportunity, hey, 10% off. Let me take that. You know, he's looking for the opportunity that's going to quickly pass by if he doesn't use it. And you've got to be vigilant. When it comes, you seize that opportunity and you gain now the benefit. Now you've redeemed that time. You've used that time well. So these are kingdom opportunities. Opportunities for the kingdom. To do something for the king. Our friends, it's good. We must do things for our boss. You must do things for your husband. You must do things for your children. Those are all valid things that you must do. A wife serves the Lord by serving her husband. We know that. But I'm sure every single one of us, we long to do more for the king. Yeah, we should be praying that to say, please, Lord, help me tomorrow. I remember one brother from Zimbabwe, now he's in England, Brother Shepherd Mindapoli, how he came to the Lord was the pastor preached on a Sunday. I was at church on a Sunday, and he took it from the prophet preaching from the Hebrew series when the prophet was speaking about what is to worship. And the prophet says, worshiping God is not just to stand at the end of the service and, you know, we glorify your name. He says, but to worship God. He says, you should worship God in your workplace. Amen. When you find somebody blaspheming or speaking wrong, you go up to them and say, hey, my friend, there's a better life than that. Amen. If you find somebody that's sick, you tell them, do you know that God can heal you? Yeah, and that really challenged me. And the next day I woke up, I said, Lord, please help me to find an opportunity today. And I went to work, and there's another young man, brilliant, that I used to work with, and he came. I'd led him to the Lord when I was in the Pentecostal church, and he worked in the company I was at. And he came to work that day, and he said to me, he says, hey, brother, I'm thinking of leaving my house. I'm going to stay, he used to stay at his aunt. I'm going to leave my aunt's house. I'm going to go and stay in somebody's apartment. I said, who? He says, I'm going to go and stay with Shepherd Mindapoli. Now, this brother who became a brother, he was a real worldly guy. You know, he was in the TV adverts. He was a disco king. He was a serious guy, and I knew him as a worldly guy. So I said to my friend, I said, hey, if I were you, I wouldn't go near that guy. You want to go and live together with him? He says, no. Do you know he's actually trying to change his life? I said, what do you mean? He says, he's starting to speak about God. I said, wow. I said, when are you seeing him next? He says, I'm going to see him tonight. I said, please, tell him I want to speak to him. And I got home that evening. We didn't have mobiles those days. You know, the landline rang. I answered it. It was my friend, brilliant. He said, I've been speaking to Shepherd. He says, please come and speak to him. Went to his house that day. It was a redeemed time. Amen. Yeah, it's because you need to be looking for the opportunity. You need to be underneath saying, Lord, please give me an opportunity to do something for you once again. Lord, let me do something to further your kingdom. Yeah, and it's a blessed thing. But it came because of the ministry of the word. Ministered all of us at that time into a place of expectation. To say, I want to walk circumspectly tomorrow. I don't want the day just to overtake me tomorrow. I want the Lord to be in control of the day. Surely there's a divine priority. There's a divine potential in the day that lays before. And Lord, you help me to recognize that potential. You help me to recognize that opportunity. So this word time, redeeming the time, kairos, it speaks of the best time to do something. It speaks of the moment when circumstances are the most suitable. So Paul is saying you must redeem the time. Take full advantage when the opportunity is there. Now, if you want to speak to your children, or you want to speak to your daughter, you want to speak to somebody, and you know, you just don't really feel the liberty to do it, and you're praying, you know, don't force things. But then you find something opens up. The door opens up. There's the right spirit is there. There's your spirit of understanding comes down. My friend, don't let anything distract you at that time. That's redeeming the time now. Use the opportunity when the opportunity is favorable. When the circumstances God has brought your path to intersect that person's path at exactly the right place at the right time, discern it inside of yourself and say, hey, this is different now. Let me use this opportunity now. And you find it's a very fertile time. You can achieve far more in 5 minutes when you're redeeming time. When it's the favorable opportunity, the fertile opportunity, you'll do more in 5 minutes than you would have done in 5 months otherwise. But you've got to sense and discern the opportunity when it comes and use that opportunity. Because like they say, opportunity only knocks once. You know, they say that in the world. And it's true. Many opportunities, they knock once and they pass you by. Think of the rich young ruler. He never sees the moment. He never redeemed that time. He had such an opportunity. But he never redeemed the time. You know, he had his worldly business instead of God's priorities. Whatever else that it was. And then the opportunity passed him by. And he never got that opportunity again. And then he went into eternity now. And he had never allowed time to prepare him for eternity. Because that's what time is supposed to do, friends. This space of time, of chronos that you've been given, this lifespan. God has given us, this is the only opportunity you'll ever get. That's why I put that little clip yesterday on the forum. This is the only little opportunity you'll ever get to store things up in eternity. We will never get another opportunity to store up treasures in heaven. All that will be in eternity in the kingdom of God is determined by what we do now with time. And if we could live with eternity in view to think of that, to think, but Lord, how can I be walking like a fool? How can I not even worry about eternity? Whereas now is the only chance, the only opportunity we're going to get. In this short space of time, you can understand why Jesus, because he was the embodiment of walking circumspectly. He was the embodiment of redeeming the time. He says, I must work while it's day. Because night is coming when no man can work. And they said, Master, come and do this. He says, no, I must go and preach in other cities also. You know, that Jesus, he lived his life with eternity in view. Now he realized, it's fine, all these other things are okay, but I can't get entangled in the affairs of this life. Because that's going to drown out the divine priorities that I'm here for. And I've only got 3.5 years. Because his window opened on the Jordan and his window of opportunity closed on the cross for him to finish all that had been entrusted to him in that 3.5 year period. And because he walked circumspectly and because he was the perfect example to us, friends, he redeemed the time. He did everything that was asked of him. Now, none of us are going to do that. I mean, we're all going to fall short because of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But friends, we should be striving for that. We should be setting our sights higher than that. They say when time passes, so does the opportunity. And that is what time is. Time is always now. We can speak of yesterday, but yesterday is gone. You can speak of tomorrow. It's not yet yours. But it's now. Walking now. What should we do now? The only thing you can do with time is use it now. Amen. Once it's gone, it's gone. You can never get it back. Amen. And if you never used it wisely, you're going to have regret. You know, Anders, you're never ever going to achieve very, very much like that. I went to look up the word opportunity. I said, that's a really interesting word. What is an opportunity? What does it mean? Now, the word opportunity is an interesting one. The word opportunity comes from Latin. It comes from two words, which is ob and portu, opportunity. And it means to enter a harbor. And now think of what they're trying to say. It's really an interesting word, and it really expresses what we're supposed to do. And it comes back from the ancient times before they had the modern harbors and the modern ships and so forth. And the ships would come with the sails and with the oars. And they needed to get into a harbor, but they needed to wait for the tide. You see, because the tide would go out and you couldn't get your ship in there. But then there was a certain time, just a small little window of opportunity, when the wind was right, and the tide was right. And the captain, I had to use that opportunity, put his boat and ride the tide into the harbor. And if he missed that little space of time, that opportunity, he had to wait for tomorrow. He waited for the next day to get into the harbor. And that's exactly what Paul is speaking about when he says, redeem the time. He's saying, discern the opportunity. When the tide is right, make sure you use the tide. When the Spirit is moving, set your wings and move with the Spirit in the way that He wants you to go. Because if you allow that tide to pass you by because you're busy on other things, who knows what's going to happen in the night? There may come a storm. You never know. The tempest may come down. So while the opportunity is there, set your focus upon that opportunity and ride the tide. Use the tide to take you in. And that, friends, is such a good figure of the kingdom of God. Because you and I can do nothing in ourselves. But when He moves, we used to sing the song. I haven't sung it for a long time, but when the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing as David sang. You know, as the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will move as whatever we would sing. When the Holy Ghost is moving, move with the cloud. Not sensing at that time that, hey, I'm really feeling this week to go to Carlo. I don't know why I'm feeling like this, but there's a deep inside of me. Or I'm really feeling on Saturday we need to get out on the street. You know, I need to go and speak to my neighbor. I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling I need to speak to my neighbor. And friends, you'd be surprised those little opportunities, what they can do. When you just get the burden about something and then you start praying about that burden, how the opportunity presents itself now. Because it's the moving of the Lord. The tide is moving and you just need to move with the tide. But once the tide is going against you, friend, it's not an easy thing to get yourself in that harbor. You know, it's difficult and it's dangerous. So you've got to use that opportunity. You've got to like seize the moment when it comes. And that's what Paul is trying to say. Redeem the time. Use the sense that opportunity and use that opportunity. I thought of the prophet when he went to the Emil's house, remember? When Mr. Emil came and his son was sick and his other young boy had died and Mr. Emil had been in jail and all that and came and knocked on the prophet's door at night and the prophet got to the place. The prophet almost missed the tide. Yeah, the prophet went too soon. Yeah, and he said, give me the boy, and prayed, and the boy got worse and the boy almost died. Now there's a certain opportunity, a certain season, there's a certain time where you can sense the Lord is moving. Move at that time. When everything was now in place, then the prophet now took the young boy, something was now going to take place. It's quite an easy thing. If we're not careful, we can miss that opportune time. You know, that window of opportunity. At Azusa Street, they wrote a tract. I once saw the tract and I found out the text of it once again, and they were giving out this tract, and on that tract, it was speaking about what was happening at Azusa Street and trying to encourage people to take advantage of that season of visitation. And in the tract, it says, opportunity once passed is lost forever. There is a time when the tide is sweeping by our door, when God is moving, and you can see God's doing something. We may then plunge in and be carried on to glorious blessing, to success and victory, but to stand shivering on the bank, timid or paralyzed with fear at such a time is to miss it all and to miserably fail. So they were saying, look, people, God is moving here. There's a window of opportunity. The tide is flowing. Dive in. Don't worry about other things. Don't stand on the side because it'll pass you by. And they say, let me do something about the opportunity has passed you by. And so many people allow that opportunity to pass them by. That's why the scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. In those seasons when your hand finds something, the opportune time, the right season, whatever that your hand finds to do it with all your might at that time. That David found the opportune moment there and he took that slingshot. He knew this is the time. This is a divine opportunity that he has opened up. And he used that time. Yeah, and look what happened. It's amazing what can happen when you use the time. You think of the prophet now. When he went to Mishawaka and the tide, he was supposed to move with the tide. It was a divine opportunity. It was a divine intersection now. He sees the signs on the bicycles and the cars, Jesus only, and his attention is moved and he stops and goes to see it. He has all the people, the Pentecostal people, the first time that he ever met the Pentecostal people. You say, and while he's there now, there's the prophecy going on and the things taking place, and he can feel that God is moving in this place. And he goes that night and he prays. He was circumspect. And he says, Lord, please give me favor with these people. These are the people that I've been looking for all my life. And the next day he goes there, and we know how it is. Here he is. And they call Brother Bram to come and preach, the youngest of all the preachers. Friend, that was a divine opportunity. That wasn't something engineered by people. And the Lord was now saying to the prophet, now, redeem the time. Use this opportunity. And there'll be fruits in eternity. And the prophet goes home. He's so excited about what's taking place. And he allows his mother-in-law to speak him out of it. And he misses the tide. And the tide passes him by now. That opportunity to go in his ministry. And you know, there didn't come another opportunity for, you know how many years? 9 years. From 1937 to 1946, he never got another opportunity like that. And friend, you can imagine how many times he looked back and said, but I should have taken that opportunity. I should have used that opportunity when the divine window opened. If only I'd have been more circumspect and not allowed the needs of life, the demands of life to drown out God's priorities for my life. And then it had to come to 1946 and the angel came down. Now you go and listen to Life Story 1951. I think it's 51, Hammond, Indiana. And the prophet's explaining why he was working himself to the bone. He says, because I should have gone at that time. He says, the Lord then, if I'd have followed, if I'd have used that opportunity at that time, He says the angel would have come to me sooner. This gift would have manifested itself sooner, and there'd be far more people in eternity. Oh, friends, that's a regret. And I have regrets, and I'm sure you do too. When you look back and say, but Lord, if only I'd have realized more fully the potential of that opportunity that was there. But now it's passed you by. What about Samson? Now, Samson played around with the opportunity. Amen. Yeah, he played around. He thought that, no, any time I can just ride the tide. And then the tide passed him by, friends, and now he's in the prison house. And now he's starting to steam. He's longing for the window to open once again. He's longing for another opportunity to redeem the time. And he's praying, just once more, Lord, please, just once more. And when his heart was set right, now the window opened once again. And now the glory came down. And now he could do more in 5 minutes of time than he had done in the last 20 years of his life. Oh, friends. That's why the song says, only one life. Soon it's past. Only what's done for Christ will last. No, friends, we'll never get another opportunity to store up treasures in heaven apart from now. In this time, in this life, you'll never. And every day that you just allow to pass by and just don't worry about it, don't even think about the kingdom, and just, you know, I need to do this, and I'm too busy in my life, and I don't have enough time, is another day lost. Another opportunity wasted. Another door that's closed behind you, time that you can't bring back. Friends, do we want to live lives like that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to get there on that day and say, you know, Lord, I'm glad to be here. I really thank you that you redeemed me. But Lord, you redeemed me, but I never redeemed the time. I never did anything at all for you, for your kingdom. I never sought even an opportunity to do something for your kingdom. You don't want it to be like that. I've said it before. If you watch that film, Schindler's List, I'm not saying that people should watch the film. We watch it because it's about the Jews. But if you watch that film, Schindler's List, the true story of Oskar Schindler, who was a German big guy in the Nazi party, he was a businessman. And now the Jews are being rounded up, put in the concentration camps, and Schindler, he's now got his memorial in Israel as a righteous Gentile. But Schindler now, he started to see the way the Germans were treating the Jews like animals. And he got such a burden, he was a rich man, so he opened a factory now. And he didn't know how to make ammunition, but that's what he said he was making in his factory. And he started now, he says, I need the Jews to come and work in my factory. And that's why it's called Schindler's List, because he made a list of names. And everybody that worked in his factory was safe. They wouldn't be put to death. And in the end now, when he started to see the fullness of what was happening to the Jews, and he started to deal with the Jewish people themselves, he got such a burden. Until his factory wasn't even making, he used his money to buy ammunition from another factory, so it looked as if his factory was making ammunition. Because he just wanted to make a refuge for the people. And he saved, at the time now when they liberated, I don't know how many thousands he had saved. But when they found him at the end, when the Allies came, the American forces came to liberate those camps and so forth, the Jews wrote a letter now to say, this man is a righteous man, please. You know, save the man. And Schindler, if you're watching the film, he cries. He cries. And he looks at his car. He had a very nice car. He says, what was I thinking? This car could have been another 10 souls. And he says, look at my gold watch. I could have sold my gold watch. This could have been 5 more Jews. You see, at the end of it now, when he looked at the opportunity, he was saying, but I could have done more. There was so much more that he did so much, but he could have done so much more. And I really do believe, in a sense, when we get there that day. You know, I was listening today to Beyond the Curtain of Time, because why did Paul speak about redeem the time? Because obviously Paul went up into eternity, went beyond the curtain of time. He went into the third heaven and he saw, like the prophet did when he was lying on his bed and the Lord took him beyond the curtain of time. And the prophet sees all these millions of people coming running. And then the prophet says, who are these? These aren't Branhams. The voice says, you gathered with your people, like the prophets. He says, but these aren't Branhams. There's too many of them. He says, these are your converts. And the prophet, if you listened, while he was beyond the curtain of time, he says, If only I had have known this before I came here, I would have compelled the people to come here. You see, when he got there and he realized, but hey, the labor that I'm doing down there, it's waiting for me up there. All the redeemed time down there, I'm meeting it now beyond the curtain of time. He has all of the fruits of the time that was redeemed. And friend, every time you redeem time, there's something going to meet you there. There's something you're storing up in eternity. But the prophet, he was given an opportunity to come back. But while he was there, he was regretting, saying, but if only I'd have known this place, if I only I'd have known this glory, I would have done far more. And that's how, if you listen to Beyond the Curtain of Time, when he comes back, he says, friends, I can never be the same brother that I was. He says, the whole world seems to cry out to me. He says, I just want to tell people, I just want to labor to put people there. Because friends, you can't go and taste eternity and then be satisfied doing nothing in time. You can't. And Paul went beyond the curtain of time into the third heaven. And that's why he came back and exhorted the people and said, people, don't walk like fools. Don't walk like the rest of this world. There's an eternity waiting. If you only knew what was just beyond your last breath, that's what the prophet was told. Just keep pressing on. Put there fruits, store up fruits in heaven, store up treasures in heaven. Because he realized what it was. And friends, I think if we go once again and spend time in eternity with the Lord, allow the eternity to be real in our souls once again, how do you feel after that? You always want to do something for him. No, you're not happy with you or the demands of life, that your life is governed by life's demands. Once you've spent time with him and you experience his fresh, you want somehow for the kingdom to be expressed. You want somehow to redeem the time, to say, Lord, give me something at least that I can do. Let me go and visit a brother, a young person. Let me go and exhort them while it is yet today. Now, that's the way that you always feel when you've been fellowshipping in that dimension, just as much as the prophet felt that way when he came back. He said, I can never be the same. He says, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter that the guns of the enemy are against me. It doesn't matter all the things that I see taking place. I want to press on. He says, because just beyond your final breath is something so glorious. He says, it's so real. It's waiting there. And when he got there, what did the people say to him? If you hadn't have gone, we wouldn't be here. If you hadn't have redeemed the time, we wouldn't be here. And the prophet now started to see the fruits of his labors when he redeemed the time. And that's how the prophet was only given 56 years on earth. And when did he come to the Lord? Almost at the age of 20. So he had about 36 years. But there were millions of people beyond the curtain of time. Millions. That's why it says a huge portion of heaven awaits you. Because the prophet, he lived circumspectly. You know, he didn't allow life's demands to drown out the priorities of the kingdom of God. You know, he kept himself. He kept his, when he'd meet a person, he'd say, this is a divine opportunity. And they said, the prophet, if he'd meet somebody, he would try and see how far he could go. When somebody would ask him, oh, what do you do? He'd say, I pray for the sick. Or I'm a minister of the gospel or something. And then he'd see how far it would go. If the person, oh, you pray for the sick. Are you a Christian? Yes. And then he'd take him. When the person stopped, he would stop. And he'd always be looking to say, is this a divine opportunity? Is this a divine appointment like Paul, like Philip and the Ethiopian? That there's an intersection on the road to Gaza. You know, and now it's time to redeem time, to seize the opportunity while there's fertile ground, while you know, things can be done, glorious things can be done. And Philip was there walking in the Spirit, following the leadership of the angel of the Lord. Just as that man walked by reading the prophet Isaiah in his chariot. My, you think of those things and you have those opportunities and I do inside of my life as well. But sometimes your mind will be so much on your shopping or so much on this, that, and the other, and that opportunity comes your way. And then it passes you by and you think, I should have. But the opportunity is gone. And friends, once it's gone, it can't be redeemed. You can't bring that time back. All you can do is get down on your knees and say, Lord, may you help us. That next time I might be more circumspect. I might be more watchful and use the opportunity. Now, it's an easy thing when circumstances come our way to miss the tide. Is it not? Now, in those seasons of time when you miss it, you know it, you feel it inside of yourself. You know, when the Lord was dealing with you, the Lord was speaking to you, and you felt to go and pray, or you felt to go and listen to a certain message, and then on the way, something got in the way, and then you got on your phone, and then you got on YouTube, and then somebody sent you something on WhatsApp, and then the opportunity had gone, and yet you had felt a deep, you had felt a burden. Friend, you should have redeemed the time. And you would have found something would have come from that, because whenever he comes, every time he comes, something good happens. And he's trying to do something. Eternity is wanting to express itself down in time, and is looking for us to redeem the time. Let's come to a conclusion. So, three things in conclusion. What can we learn? The first thing we need is on a regular basis to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to live this life with eternity in view. Help me not to forget that I'm a creature of time. That David said, Lord, teach me to number my days. Amen. Yeah, I've set the Lord ever before me. Just remember that. Yeah. Who knows how many more days you have? Who knows how many more days I have? Maybe the greater portion of your day is already behind you. But friends, the glory can still be before you. Because a person in the hands of God, even just for a season of time, can do things that are... You can make up for all of the mistakes of your past by just putting yourself in the hands of God for a short space of time and say, Lord, please, just once more, Lord, and see what the Lord can do. But we need to live with eternity in view. And the second thing, the thing we should stop saying all the time is, I don't have time. Amen. You do have time. God didn't make a mistake. Maybe your priorities are wrong. Maybe you need to rearrange your day. Amen. But every single one of us, it's impossible to say, but I don't have time. Well, you're saying that God makes a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes with his opportunities. God doesn't make mistakes when he gives you the opportunity to redeem the time. He knows you do have sufficient time. And if we walk circumspectly, like Paul says, and we redeem the time, we'll find that we do have sufficient time. The Lord will never ask us to do more than we can do. But you've got to put his priorities first. We've got to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Design, say, Lord, I want to do something for you tomorrow. Lord, I want tomorrow to be a different kind of a day. Let it be a special day. Let it be a milestone in my spiritual diary. Let me lead someone to you. You lead me to somebody. Give me an opportunity. And friends, the moment you start praying like that, we always say, Brother George says it many times as well, you'll find you go for weeks without an opportunity to testify to somebody. Then the moment you start praying, getting your heart soft before the Lord, there come so many opportunities. The Lord always wanted to give you the opportunity, but you weren't in the right spiritual condition. You weren't under an expectation. So the moment you start looking for it, Lord says, that's what I was waiting for. Now the windows of opportunity start opening. And now these strange circumstances start unfolding. You start meeting Paul and Silas, meeting a jailer in the Philippian jail. And Paul is just going down to the prayer meeting by the river, and he meets up with Lydia. And it's a fertile season, and he redeems the time. He doesn't look and say, oh, it's just a bunch of women down here at the river. But he sits down and starts to speak to them concerning the things of the kingdom. And the Lord opens the heart of Lydia. And friend, from there, the church in Philippi started in her house. Great things can start when you desire to redeem the time. And you say, Lord, I want to do something. I want to store up something in eternity. So don't say that anymore. Don't say, no, I don't have enough time. Then there's something wrong with the way that you're organizing your life. That's why they say Ephesians 5 verse 15 and 16 is God's verses of time management. And it's true. Somebody came to once to me when I was back home and said, wanted to sell me a course on time management. It was a girl that I knew. I said, show me what it's about. She said, okay, let me just give you a simple example. She says, okay, write down on this piece of paper, she was speaking about business, the most important things that you need to do in your business. I wrote down, okay, you need to do this. She says, okay, now go and write down next to it how much time you've spent this week doing those things. And friends, it'll be shocking that in a week, a working week where you work, say, 38 hours, and the main thing you're supposed to be doing, you find you did it for 2 hours. And the things which are just like unnecessary things, you spent 16 hours doing them. Until you sit down and look at it and say, but I never realized I'm getting pulled into all these things which are not the real core task that I was employed to do in this place. Yeah, and then you start to reorganize things. So now the next thing you do now, you start saying, again, how am I going to get the priorities right again? How am I going to be able to focus on the things that I should be focusing on? Other things need to be done, but you've got to put them in priority order and say, this is number one. This is the thing that needs to be done first. And if we'd look inside of our lives and say, okay, Lord, one Saturday a month, I'm giving it to you. One Saturday a month, I'm going to go and look for opportunity to testify. I'm going to go out on the street and give out tracts. Or I'm going to go and visit my neighbor. Or I'm going to go and visit my friends from college who, you know, I've been speaking about the kingdom of God. If you'd say, okay, Lord, or even just one afternoon, one Saturday afternoon, say, Lord, I'm going to pray, I'm going to wait upon you, and I'm going to give you this time. You say, you get your priorities right like that. You know, Wednesday, I'm going to be in service. Friday, I'm going to be in service. Sunday, I'm going to be in the house of God. You're putting your priorities right. You're putting the kingdom first. When I get up in the morning, Lord, it's not going to be first breakfast. It's going to be first looking to you. Therefore, I've got to change my life a little bit. I've got to change my time management. Maybe get up 30 minutes earlier. Go to bed 30 minutes earlier. Got to start making some adjustments inside of your life so that you can fulfill this command of a scripture that says, redeem the time. For the days are evil. That's what it says. Make sure you redeem the time, because it's going to be so easy in an evil day that you don't redeem the time. And then the final one. So firstly, live with eternity in view. Remind yourself. Go and listen to Beyond the Curtain of Time again. Go and see all the things that Jesus says about stewardship. Amen. You know, about being a faithful steward. The talents and put yourself in the scriptures. Okay, am I being a faithful steward with time? Am I being a faithful steward with what the Lord has revealed to me? If he's revealed the mysteries of his kingdom to me, what am I doing with these things? Am I just keeping it to myself, or am I looking for opportunity to share it with somebody else? You know, it really, really put eternity back into your timetable, friend. And think, like they say, if you could say, okay, what is it that I want the Lord to say to me on that day? Do I want the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord? If that's your desire, start from there and work backwards now. And so, how do I get there? What hinders me inside of my life from standing before the Lord and not being ashamed on that day? Because Paul says, I want to stand before the Lord not being ashamed. A workman who's not ashamed of what he's done. I don't want to have run in vain, Paul says. Therefore, you need to look now and say, okay, am I going to hit that target? Am I going to be able to stand there that day and look at the Lord and be surrounded by the great multitude of witnesses of people who shed their blood and were fed to the lions and lived in caves and did all of that? What is my testimony going to be? Yeah. Did I bring forth any fruit for the kingdom? And start to focus your life like that. And friend, I do believe if you'd focus it like this, you'll find changes start coming inside of your life. The final thing is, live for today. Today. Don't worry about yesterday. The mistakes that you made yesterday, learn from them. But don't let those regrets of the past hold you back from redeeming time now, because you can do that. You can all the time be looking back and say, but I let the Lord down and I should have done this. And there's nothing you can do about that. Amen. The only thing you can do is repent and say, Lord, please put it in the sea of your forgetfulness. And like I said, the scripture says his mercy is on you every morning. Amen. Great is his faithfulness. So tomorrow his mercy is going to be new. So there's new, fresh mercy for you and I when you get up in the morning to start a new day. So don't allow the past to hold you back. And don't worry about tomorrow. Don't all the time be working. They did a survey and they asked people, what are you living for? Just a few weeks back, you know what the survey came back? 94% of people said they are enduring today. They're not enjoying today because they're living for tomorrow. They're working hard and stuff for their retirement. That's when they're going to enjoy life, is in their retirement. No, they're saving up money now for a holiday in Spain at the end of the year or something like that. So they're not enjoying the day. Friend, God never wanted to be like that. He wants you to walk with him today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. As you find opportunity, do good to all men, especially them that be of the household. As you find looking for opportunity now, and the future will take care of itself. Let's redeem the time, friends. In this environment that we live in, it's so contrary to the life that those people of the past used to live. You can think of some of those peoples from the past and the way that they gave themselves over. And they look at, think of the prophet and his life. And let it be a challenge to us. We're not called. We're not full-time like him. And we don't have the high calling like him. But each and every one of us have been given an allotment of time. You've been given talents and abilities. And he's entrusted you with the stewardship of his kingdom and of revelation of grace and of the things that you know. And I'm sure if you and I would pray tonight and say, Lord, tomorrow, I want to redeem the time. Let me have an opportunity. The Lord will lay something upon your heart. Maybe you get on the phone and you phone somebody up and you find out exactly what that person needed. Or you get in your car and you go and visit somebody else. Or you go down to the shop and you bump into somebody and they're from a certain country and just start speaking to them and it opens up. That's how Paul is saying, let us walk circumspectly. Let's think of the consequences of what we're doing in our lives. Let's weigh things up, the way we're spending our time, the way we're starting our day. Let's think of what is it going to be resulting. If I'm going to wake up tomorrow tired and confused, it's going to be a confused day. I'm going to get to the end of the day with regrets. But if I can wake up in the morning and give the Lord a tithing of the time, and I can open up my Bible and I can say, Lord, speak to me, Lord. Guide me this day. And I can call upon his name. Friends, the opportunity for tomorrow is great. It can be a time when today passes into tomorrow. You can get an opportune time. A fertile moment that God gives you. An intersection where his kingdom intersects in the life of a person through you. And you can redeem the time. I'm sure that's what you desire. Let's stand, saints. Let's bow our heads, saints. Let's pray before we go this evening. It's a Wednesday evening. You know, there's still Thursday and Friday that lays before us. We want to pray for Sister Dube. She's asking us to pray for Savior. He bruised his foot yesterday, so we'd really like to pray for him as well. But whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, saints, let's say, Lord, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not yet mine. But Lord, help me today. Help me to live with eternity in view. And grant me grace, Lord, to redeem the time. Let's pray before we go. We are looking unto thee, Lord, upon this night for how much we need you. We need your grace every step of the way, Lord. We need your grace, Father, from time all the way to eternity. And Lord, we wait upon thee, Lord, at this time and bring ourselves before thee before we go from this place. Father, I want you to pray, Lord, upon this evening, Father, to seek for grace and mercy and opportunity to redeem the time, Lord, to redeem the time that you've given unto us, Lord. The season that you've given to us, Father, the opportunities that you've given to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, Father, grant us mercy. Forgive us for the failures of our past. Forgive us, Lord, for we've allowed these opportunities to pass us by. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings. Lord, all the failures, Lord, that we've done. But, Father, we want to just set our affections, our attentions upon you, to wait upon the Lord and to call upon the name at this time to bring ourselves before the Lord. How we need thee, Lord, how we desire that. Lord, at work, for the people that work with Lord, just pray for the opportunity, Lord, to redeem the time. I'm thinking, Lord, at this time of sorrow, I'm praying for her, Father, dedicating up unto thee, Lord, upon this evening, Lord, asking of thee for your grace, asking for your mercy, Lord, as I bring unto thee, all for what I look unto thee. Father, dedicate things into thine hands, Father, calling upon the name, even upon this evening, Lord, waiting upon thee, Lord. Just wanting that your will would be done. Oh God, bless your people upon this night, Lord. Give us one will from this place, Lord. Grant us grace, Lord, even Father, in this day that lays before us. Pray, Lord, in our families, Lord, that you'd help us to redeem the time. Those fertile opportunities, Lord, those occasions, Father, to glorify your name, Lord. Won't you help us in those things, Lord? I pray, Father, your brother, need Lord, bless Jesus, our sister, Shannon, she's in touch with you. Father, to pray for Savior, Lord. I want to pray and ask of thee, Lord, that you just reach down your hand, touch him, Father, and grant him grace, Lord, upon this evening. As Father, we do lift your name unto thee, Lord. Every other request that is before us, every other need that we have, Lord, Father, how we do desire, how blessed that it is,
may you touch him,
the time, blessed that it is, Lord, to be a part of this, Father,
trying to be, Father, commit them to you, that you would watch over them, each and every one of them, where they are. Lord, grant them grace, I pray. Be with us, Father, as we depart from this place. I pray that you go with us and that you commit this word in our hearts. Father, may it help us.
You grant us grace for this word.
Father, the way we see
all the things of which you
speak, our priorities of Jesus. But Father, it may be that you just grant us
an opportunity once again.
Just to grant us grace and goodness so that they could live our past and
day. Anything else, Lord?
Thank you, Father, to be tonight. I pray that you continue to use this, Lord, to speak and light you. Help us, that we may do what you
from this place.
Father, may you grant us grace.
Quicken us,
have mercy. And I thank you for opening doors to me in the way that you have.
Lord, Father, won't you grant me grace in this we pray?
And to
make unto me
blessed
by what Jesus
you have.
For your glory we pray, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saying Jesus. Jess, we lost Brother Max. Please, can you dismiss us in prayer, Brother Max? Let's sing one song there, bro.
Jesus shall lead me.
Yeah.
Lead me night and day.
truly we remember Calvary. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening as we came to your house, Lord. Father, you have spoken to us of the truth, Lord. Every verse, every line in your holy book is inspired. Looking at just a few sentences, Lord, this evening, picking from your word of God, the inspiration that is behind it, Lord, we say thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father of the truth, Lord, you loved us. And you redeemed us, Lord. And Father, you asked us, Lord, you gave us a commission, Lord, to go out there and speak your word of salvation, Lord, unto the many that, Lord Jesus, you have already known. Father, we want to surrender ourselves to you, God, this moment. We have failed in many ways, Lord. We have not done, Lord, sufficiently, O God, what you have purposed us for us to do. Yes. When we look at people like Paul, O God, we feel ashamed. Oh, someone that stayed the whole of his life, every hour, every minute, every second, redeeming the time, Lord. Father, we have failed, Lord, this evening. Yes. And so, Father, we know that it is because, oh, you have seen, oh Lord, the lapse, Lord, in our lives. That's why you have spoken to us, Lord, in this way, oh God. And Father, we want from tonight, Lord Jesus, to surrender all to your hands, oh God. Father, we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Father, we want our life, oh God, to be even an epistle, oh God. That even when we don't speak, oh Lord, even our lives, Lord, will redeem the time, oh God. Father, we pray the Lord Jesus, all the Lord you have, O God, oh, called to be in your kingdom. We pray thee, Lord. We seek from thee, O God. The Lord, you lead our footsteps, O God, to those places. That, Father, the Holy Spirit will lead us, O God, to redeem every minute, every time, the Lord Jesus, that can come to our side, Lord. Father, in our working places, in our schools, wherever we go, Lord Jesus, we pray that, oh God, an opportunity, Lord, will come our way, Lord, to say something, oh God, to someone, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, this is what we are surrendering ourselves unto now. That, Lord, the Holy Spirit will help us, oh God. Father, we thank you for reminding us, Lord Jesus, this message that come as a remembrance unto us. Father, and so we turn now to your word, oh God. We surrender all to you. Lord, help us, O Lord Jesus. As Father, from today, O God, even from tonight, Lord Jesus, we want our very life, O God, even to be a testimony or to someone, O God. Father, that's what we seek from you. We thank you for the word, the remembrance that you have given to us. And now we remember, Lord, our dear brothers who weren't able to come this evening. Father, you know where they are, oh God. Many at work and many reasons, oh God, they are not here. What we have received, Lord, you know how, oh God, to bring this same blessing, oh God, this same word, oh God, to their lives, Lord. Father, we pray that wherever they are, you bless them also. The sick amongst us, oh God, prayers have already been offered, oh Lord. Once again, Lord, we pray to you, Lord, touch them, oh God. Heal them, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit all of them into your hands. And Father, even as you brought us in, O Lord, we are going back. Amen. We seek once more journey mercies, Lord. Now the night has come, and Father, we know the Lord. You are the light, O God. Amen. Give light on our ways, O Lord, back to our homes, Lord. Amen. And Father, once again, committing the rest of the week into your hands, as we come back on Friday, Lord, oh, to come and pray, Lord. Father, once again, we seek the Holy Spirit presence, Lord, to come, Lord Jesus, and give us utterances, Lord, to pray about the things that, oh God, you want your children, Lord, or to receive, oh God. Father, once again, we want to say thank you for our pastor. The Lord, you use him as your mouthpiece tonight, oh God. We have heard your word, Lord. Lord, it has come to us. It has rested upon our hearts. It has found a resting place. And Father, we will live by it, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, once again, we say thank you. We bless you. Bless our song leader, the musicians. Lord, has set themselves aside, O God, to create that atmosphere for us, Lord, to receive your word. Bless each and everyone here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Let's sing that chorus as we dismiss. Jesus shall lead me night and day.
Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me. Oh, Jesus shall lead.